You may have had the thought, if I could just figure out the perfect thing for me to eat, then insert what you hope to get out of eating perfectly. Maybe it's health, a specific size body, praise for being able to be so good, and so on and so forth. But more likely than not, the strive for perfectionism is not fully part of your conscious thinking. It is quite likely just running in the background like all the apps on your phone. Tune in to find out if you may be falling into the pitfalls of perfectionism and not even knowing it. Welcome to the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I am Tammy, your fun-loving and often quirky host. I have been a dietitian for close to 20 years where I've helped countless women transform not only their relationship with food, but more importantly, themselves. I believe to my core that as you start peeling back the layers to loving your food and yourself, you end up loving your life like never before. And now is the time, my friend. It is time to break up with diet culture, shift your current stories, rev up your internal wisdom, and recognize that every body, regardless of size, not only deserves dignity and respect, but can be healthy because your habits and how you love on yourself is truly what matters. In this podcast, we have real conversations about struggles, insecurities, and false beliefs with loving ourselves and each other through the lens of curiosity, anti-judgment, intuitive eating, spirituality, journaling, and a heaping dose of laughter. Maybe some tears, but always a whole lot of realness. Hey friends, I am so excited to talk about the pitfall of perfectionism with my good friend Beth, because this is something we actually check each other on from time to time, especially if we happen to be falling into the pitfall of perfectionism. Because yes, we are still human, but I have to say, it has become so much easier to spot the signs of perfectionism creeping in. And I also want to share that this has to do with letting go of attempting to be perfect with eating.
Hey, Tammy. Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation too, because my entire relationship with food and body, at least initially, was based off of this. At the time, I was unaware of it, but perfectionism with food. I would have identified myself as a very careful, clean eater, trying to be the good girl and eat all the right things to be the good dietitian and lead my clients in that same direction. So while I thought it was doing me all kinds of good, it actually led me down a road of destruction in some ways. So I'm excited to chat about that today.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, Beth, but in my view, perfectionism becomes really a way to gain acceptance, love, and praise. However, this perfectionism is often unattainable. So we attempt to become perfect with our food, with our bodies, maybe in life. And I have to say that for me, it was not really just about being perfect with food and my body, but really everything. I was trying to be perfect at school. I was trying to hold myself to this perfect standard of being a mom. I was trying to be perfect in my work. And it wasn't that I was consciously thinking, I need to be perfect. It's just that I was really setting myself up for such a high standard that almost that high standard was perfectionism. And I would almost even boastfully say, I'm not trying to be perfect, right? It was almost like I was in this denial of how I was actually trying to be perfect. But after working with several coaches and really peeling back the layers of my thought patterns and my beliefs and how I was showing up in the world with life and food and my body, I realized that I was really trying to strive for this perfectionism, but really all the while, I was feeling just really embarrassed by not already being there. So I'm curious to hear more from you, Beth. Like, when do you recall perfectionism for you first showing up, and when or how were you able to start identifying when it was present for you?
Yeah, I can totally relate to you, Tammy. I know now in hindsight that my quest for perfectionism, whether it was food, body, or other areas of my life, was not really based on the idea that perfectionism was necessary, but it was as a way to gain that acceptance and that love and praise from other people. So it was also rooted in this desire to make everyone else happy. And so that is also, you know, I think the driver and something I'd identified, likely it was probably in my late 20s that I identified that people pleasing and perfectionism wasn't really serving me any longer, but it did take longer for me to actually continue to strip it out of my life in the different areas that you mentioned, because it didn't just show up, you know, showed up in food and body first. At least my conscious awareness saw it there first, and still from time to time shows up in other areas of my life. So I would say likely in my late teens is when perfectionism became pretty rampant in my food and body life. I was a dancer in the, you know, the high school dance team. And I was also really tall. So I was very, very self-conscious of being just a very tall person in a world of dancers that were, you know, particularly petite and small. And I started to identify that, oh, let me control my body size so I don't become bigger than everybody else. And that was the first, I think, form of perfectionism that I began to chase in terms of keeping my body a smaller size so I didn't stick out, so I could be accepted by my peers, et cetera. And while I wouldn't have said that to you, like just like you, Tammy, I wouldn't have said that to you, it definitely was a driver for really shifting my relationship to food and relationship to body. And then as I, you know, became more aware of these patterns, worked with different coaches and yoga teachers and different people in my life, I started to identify, you know, this was actually holding me back. And yeah, and that's where the healing really began.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Beth. I know this is something that we have talked about, but just between you and I, you know, multiple times, is this kind of strive for perfectionism. And it sounds like for you, it really started around, okay, let me try to keep my body a specific size. And again, you weren't consciously aware of that at the time, that that's what you were doing, but that's really the actions you were taking. And I wanted to just kind of parallel that, you know, with my experience, I would say that where my perfectionism, you know, really did start to show up initially for me was this perfectionism of health almost. So it wasn't necessarily, let me control my body size. That was kind of a positive byproduct. But I thought that through becoming a dietitian, I thought if I can just figure out the perfect way to eat for myself, and then I can figure out the perfect way to feed my kids, I can make sure that my kids have the perfect relationship with food and body. And then I even thought when I was younger as a dietitian, I thought, okay, I'm going to work in dietetics and in the nutrition profession in kind of each stage of my life, right? So I thought when my kids are young, I'm going to work in pediatrics so that I can learn the perfect way to feed my children and be the perfect mom there. And then I thought as they get older, I'll start working with adolescents. And then as I start aging, I'll start working with geriatric nutrition, older population nutrition. So again, I could figure out the perfect solution for nutrition at every stage of my life in order to, quote unquote, be the best me and the best version of myself all through health. So it wasn't, for me personally, it just wasn't a, let me control my body. That was kind of a positive side benefit of the perfect health. But I really came at it from this lens of food was going to be the answer for everything.
Oh yeah, Tammy, I'm on board with that 100%. It became more than just controlling body for me as well. It was, how can I eat the perfect diet? I was on the quest to find whatever this perfect diet was that myself and my clients could both thrive on, you know, and that was another form of perfectionism. So yeah, I totally relate and resonate with what you just said.
Yeah. And so I would like to kind of talk a little bit around, where does this belief of perfectionism kind of come from? Because as Beth and I have mentioned, we were impacted by it, but we weren't fully conscious of it. We weren't fully aware of it. So if you are anything like we once were, you know, and just kind of unaware of whether perfectionism is running in the background, I'd like to talk a little bit about how to identify if the belief of perfectionism might be present for you. So here are just a few ideas of where we see that perfectionism comes from. And it can be one of these things, or it can be a combination of these things. But if you have experienced any of these in your life, then more likely than not, you have perfectionism running in the background, even if you're not seeing it as perfectionism. And so I'll start, but we'll just kind of run through these quickly. But I know for a lot of the clients that I work with, they say that their perfectionism has come from having really rigid, high expectations from their parents, or maybe from school or from other kind of like authority figures. So we're not here blaming parents and saying parents made you feel like you had to be perfect. No, I think there's also kind of this societal expectation that we're perfect and we're supposed to get the straight A's and we're supposed to be in all the clubs and we're supposed to be in all the sports and all of the things. So not necessarily trying to call out parents, but it's just if you grew up in any type of environment that there was rigidity or just high expectations, that could definitely lead you down the road of feeling like you need to continue being that way in all areas of your life.
And I can speak to that, Tammy, because I didn't have parents that I felt were really rigid or had a high expectation of me, but I had that expectation of myself as a byproduct of growing up in a culture that really praised and rewarded perfectionism.
Right. I was the exact same way. My parents were not telling me, you know, Tammy, you need to do these things or, you know, you better or else. But definitely I somehow picked up that pressure myself. And I want to say too, just again, that some of our clients that we've worked with, right, Beth, is that they did specifically grow up with parents who were rigid, who said, you better do this or else. So it can look a few different ways for anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't. And I think the point is to showcase that it doesn't have to show up in one specific way. It can be cultural. It can be very specific to the parenting that you received. And there's not a right or wrong answer. Perfectionism shows up in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. So let's talk about another one. And I think this is really common as well. And this is something that I've had to be cognizant of with my own children, because we can just really fall into this. But when we receive excessive praise for achievements and we get kind of that positive feel good attention for an achievement, we can start to, I shouldn't say we, our brains can start to say, ooh, that's how I get praise, and praise feels really good. And so therefore let me achieve more. So again, this is something I am attempting to be cognizant with my children, in that if they achieve something, instead of telling them, you did so good or things like that, I'm attempting to say more things like, how do you feel about it? And what did you think about it? And what was your experience like? And having them talk about that experience rather than just good job, I'm so proud of you and all of that. But it's a balance, because of course you want your kids to know that you're proud of them as well.
Absolutely. I'm cognizant of that too, Tammy. It's challenging, however, because you have a school system that oftentimes continues to perpetuate that praise for achievement. So we'll talk more about this, I think, later on about how to kind of conquer this, because we're all living in a similar environment. And awareness and self-compassion are two of the antidotes mm-hmm. to shifting this perfectionism. But I think it's shown up for us as well as our children. And I don't think it's going away either.
Yeah, probably not. So we'll just run through really quickly here to keep us on track of some other places where the belief of perfectionism comes from. So again, it can be from the high expectations of society or parents. It's receiving excessive praise for achievements. It's having a low self-esteem or feeling inadequate, and we'll talk more about that, or believing that your self-worth is determined by your achievements. So meaning you're only good if you're achieving XYZ, or if you have fallen into the all or nothing thinking patterns, which we've talked about on many episodes and we'll talk about a little bit more here today. And are there any others that you would think of, Beth, of where this belief of perfectionism can maybe come from?
Yeah, I'll just add that, you know, as humans, and it's totally normal and natural to just want to control our environment and control our outcomes in our life. And while that's all, I mean, all of us do it, right? And so that element of control can turn into a perfectionist view of thinking. And at the same time, it's interesting to consider that we don't really even have control of our thoughts. We have control of nothing in life. And there's a certain amount of surrender that comes in that realization. However, that effort, which again is completely human, to feel in control of our experience definitely can drive perfectionism. And I believe that comes not only from that biological need to survive, but also from just our culture and the expectations that our culture holds. And so I would just add those little things. But I think you hit a lot of them, at least the ones that we see in working with our clients.
Really quick, we are going to take a break from this episode because I want to check in with you. And thank you so much for taking precious time out of your day to listen in here. I know you're listening because there's some part of you looking for answers as it relates to food, your body, your health, or even your mental well-being. And I'm curious, are you finding the answers you came for? If you're like most of the women I work with, you have been searching for some time and you've been down the road of wishing and hoping for far too long, so you want concrete answers. So here are your choices. You can stay being an avid listener, finding your answers in a DIY style, or if you're done with DIYs and guidance with no outcomes, please click the link in the description to visit my services page. Here you will discover a variety of options, from a free Facebook community to a highly immersive group program. Whatever you need, I've got you. If you're still with us, you have begun to realize that you too have been impacted by a belief of perfectionism. So let's look at how this may apply to your own eating experiences and how you perceive yourself. What do you think, Beth? Where shall we start breaking this down as it relates to relationship with food and ourselves?
I think we started to tap into this just through the conversation earlier on, and some of you might already be seeing yourself as you're thinking about your relationship to food and body, but perfectionism can definitely show up as that kind of rigid inner critic voice that's telling us, eat this, don't eat that. It's also a form of all or nothing thinking, right? Looking at these different people on social media or elsewhere that are saying, these are the good foods, these are the bad foods, right? That's a very common place where we can get into perfectionism. If I eat the bad thing, then I myself am bad. We actually assign morality to our food choices with how we show up. I'm a bad person. I just ate donuts. I'm a good person. I ate broccoli, right? And we start to really identify ourselves with our food choices. And that can become a very, very slippery slope for those of us trying to be healthy. Like you had said, Tammy, this wasn't just about controlling your body. It was about being healthy. And you know, it's an important thing to identify that when we get very rigid and black and white with food choices, that can be a form of perfectionism, or just that inner critic voice that also might talk to us about our exercise habits, you know, in relationship to, oh my gosh, this was me at least. An example was, if I didn't go running, I used to be an avid runner. And if I didn't run at least, I think it was like 5 or 6 days a week, then I was bad, you know. And if I did run, I was good and I was doing the thing. So a lot of my morality and how I showed up was related to my choices with food and exercise. And I think that this can show up for many people. It can also show up in, you know, whether you binge ate or not. Like I got home from work and I was a good person because I used my willpower and I didn't eat all the things when I got home, even though I wanted to. You know, that can be another form of perfectionism. If you're someone who tends to overeat at certain points in the day or week, et cetera. So there's a lot of different food rules that could be applied to this conversation here, but I would say that's just a good place to start. And I know, at least for me, a form of perfectionism also showed up in being almost too focused on nutrition science or this like clean eating movement to lead the way in my life. So it was like I lived on a pedestal because I knew all the things about food, good and bad, and leaned on nutrition science to lead the way, which I think, Tammy, you and I have discussed in ad nauseum, could almost be its own podcast episode, right? Around how nutrition science has its pros, but also its cons. And there's actually not really a lot of perfect science out there as it relates to nutrition. So relying even on those evidence-based methods can also get us in trouble in certain circumstances. Again, probably another podcast episode. But what else comes to mind for you, Tammy, when you're thinking about food and body stuff?
Yeah, well, I think that something that often happens as well is people start to learn about either mindfulness or intuitive eating or anything else where it's maybe a little bit more gentler, but then they kind of fall into the traps of attempting to be perfect with being mindful, as if there's a completely and totally 100% correct way to be mindful and 100% correct way to be intuitive. And if you maybe didn't listen to your hunger, you did intuitive eating wrong. Or if you didn't fully listen to your fullness, you're doing intuitive eating wrong. So to me, what really kind of comes through and what I have learned about perfectionism is it is really tied to that inner critic and just saying, you did this right, you did this wrong, you did this right, you did this wrong. And that voice is probably the most activated and it can really be present in anything. So even if you're on this journey of mindfulness or intuitive eating or, you know, listening to your body, it's almost this pressure to do it all the right way. You know, there's a right way to listen to your body. You're supposed to sit down and be calm and do deep breathing and then really be in touch with your hunger and your fullness. And you start putting all this pressure. So it's almost like this inner critic creates this amount of pressure that can be experienced through the whole experience. And to me, that's where I see perfectionism come up the most with our clients and what I have had to really be really mindful for myself and to allow myself to be in the gray a little bit and not say there's a right way and a wrong way to do anything in life, including my eating.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You hit the nail on the head, I believe, because that is so true. That those even who are like ready for food liberation and freedom, they recognize like that diet culture rules have not been serving them. They even get into that perfectionism with the principles of intuitive eating or mindful eating or what have you. So I just want to reiterate, because that's really, really important to hear if you're already on this journey, because perfectionism can even show up within the realm of being an intuitive eater. So awareness is huge.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think another area that shows up really strongly around relationship with self is when we receive compliments about our body, you know, because I know that when I was running for a time, you mentioned running, Beth, and there's nothing wrong with running. I just want to say that there's nothing wrong with running. If people love running, that's awesome. It's all about how we have that relationship with running, right? And I was at a point in my life where I was running and I was doing it for joy and I was doing it because I felt good and I was proud of myself and I was doing it with a friend and we were getting to chat and it really had a lot of positives to it. But I will say that, you know, if my body changed, I started receiving a lot of compliments around, oh, you're looking so good. And what are you doing? And this was during a time actually when I was not stepping on the scale. And so it felt really strange to be receiving those compliments for me in that point. But I can say that had I received those compliments like that probably 10 years, 20 years ago, that would have really drove me in towards wanting to continue whatever actions I was doing so that I could continue getting those compliments about my body.
Yeah. And I just want to point out that it's not the compliments themselves. It's what the compliments drive within right. us, mm-hmm. you know, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel your best. And if running brings that about or eating certain foods brings that about, that's great. It's all about what's going on between the ears. So we hope that that's driving forward in this conversation and really helping you identify, okay, where am I getting a little bit too particular about the choices I'm making and the things that I do and what's the driving force behind them?
Yep, absolutely. And so I think just again, for everyone who's listening, I invite you to just take a moment to pause and say, okay, as it relates to my relationship with food and myself, my body right now in this moment, where is perfectionism maybe showing up for me? And what else in my environment may be driving beliefs of perfectionism? Okay. And through that, I'd like to move into kind of our next topic here, which is to, you know, talk about how to not fall into those pitfalls of perfectionism that we've been talking about. And you could be like I once was, where I would walk around and I would say, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Nobody's perfect. Right. And yes, we have this level of like neuroplasticity in our brain, where if you continue to just say nobody's perfect, eventually your brain will really believe that. But I'm guessing if you were to just right now today, start walking around and saying, nobody's perfect, you're not going to really feel that to your core. Your inner core is still going to be drawn towards that perfectionism, even though you're outwardly saying nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect. So what I'd like to do just to kind of wrap up this episode, Beth, is to break down what listeners can do if they would like to really not fall into that pitfall of perfectionism or maybe kind of come out of it.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things we love to talk about is self-reflection and taking the time to really see what's going on in between the ears. So we take a conscious look at what does not determine self-worth. So remind yourself either through writing, recording an audio for yourself, talking to a friend or a coach that you trust, and just look and see what determines your self-worth. Is it your bank account, your job title, your attractiveness, the foods you do eat or don't eat, the social media connection you do have or don't have, and recognizing that it has nothing to do with how valuable or worthy of a person that you are. And you might be nodding your head and saying, oh, of course not. Of course not. Of course, the money that I make doesn't say anything about my goodness in the world or my self-worth. And at the same time, it could be a driving force underneath the surface. So notice how I'm taking that conscious step of looking at these things to identify where subconsciously, so under the layers, that we are taking actions in our lives as a form of perfectionism. Does that make sense, Tammy?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that it's really normal, I would say, that we as humans may tie our self-worth to things such as what our body looks like, our bank account, our job titles, you know, who we engage with, the foods that we're eating. Like, we can very easily tie our self-worth to those things because, you know, we've been kind of taught to do that. So the first step, I think, is to just really say, these things don't define me. These are not what make me worthy. And as Beth said, we really invite you to write this down, because it's one thing to just be listening to a podcast and to think about it, but I really invite you to write down that these things do not tie to your self-worth. And you can even record an audio for yourself so that you can remind yourself, or talk to a friend that you heard about this on an episode, so that you can really kind of tie that in, that these things are not tied to your self-worth. Okay. Because at the end of the day, when you take a step back and you think about what truly matters when you're determining someone else's worth, what you're likely looking at are things such as kindness, compassion, empathy, how someone maybe respects others. When you're looking at someone else, that's what you like about them. And you don't see other people as just a body. You don't see other people as a job. You don't see other people as, oh, they have this in their bank account. And so that's their worth, right? It's just who they are. And that needs to be the same for you. You need to look at your own self-worth the way that you look at other people's self-worth. Does that make sense, Beth?
It does. And I also want to add a layer to that because I think it's valuable. I would even like look at how you might view your children or the small people in your world, because I actually find, Tammy, I don't know about you, but a lot of my clients do judge other women's bodies. They do look at someone's bank account and say, oh, they're more or less worthy. Even if it's subconscious, you know, there is still an opportunity for all of us to judge others based on their achievements, et cetera, and so forth. So there's this idea and this concept, and it bridges into what Tammy and I would consider more of our spiritual connection or belief. And it's this idea that you're worthy because you exist. And I would say there's no one else in the world that better embodies this than a young child, than a baby, mm-hmm. right? A baby who hasn't had the chance to get caught up in food and body struggles, that hasn't, you know, has the chance to make money or not make money, that has an attractiveness value or not. Like, all babies are cute, right? But they are worthy because they were born, right? They were worthy because they were born or they exist. You might even, if children don't connect with you, you might think of a pet or an animal, because I know there's so many people that have this connection to animals. And you look at the animal that you love, maybe it's a dog, a cat, a hamster, a fish, I don't know. And they don't have to do anything to get your love. They just are there, right? They're just there. They just exist. And so if it's hard to connect to just like your friends or your family members, because you might have some deep-rooted judgment about them, let's be honest.
Yeah. And I guess I was talking about more of our friends and family members that we just truly adore and love. So I love the example of kids.
Yeah, fair. And I think it's just, you know, everybody's going to have a different point of connection as it relates to this. But what if you started operating from this place of, I am worthy because I'm here on this planet in this time and space, and I have this one lifetime to live. And why not just embrace this idea that I am worthy because I'm here?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, absolutely. So in summary, the whole first point of really how to either come out of the pitfall of perfectionism or how to not fall into it is to redefine what your self-worth may or may not look like. Because maybe you already feel a deep sense of self-worth, and that's awesome. But if not, this is the invitation to redefine how you are tied to your own self-worth, and that you are worthy because you exist. And while this will make a huge impact for you and will allow you to become distanced from perfectionism, there are some other tangible tips as well that may even be easier to start today to really get you started. Okay. So we talk about this a lot in episode 61, which is talking about avoid these common thinking traps. But what I'd really like to do is invite you to allow yourself some time and space to really activate your awareness and observe those thinking patterns. So Beth and I aren't going to go into all of the potential thinking patterns today, because like I said, we talked about these in episode 61, but just for starters, really start to point out where you can spot this all or nothing thinking, or the right and the wrong, or the good and the bad. So within anything that you're experiencing in life, so food, body, yourself, life, where are you noticing that type of thinking come up?
Yeah. And just to continue that, you know, looking at that inner voice and, you know, that one that loves to nitpick and point out every fly. We all have her, right? We all have her.
Yep.
And sometimes, and I like to remind myself and my clients that she is there to protect us, right? She's not there to be a jerk. She's really there to protect us. But make her pause for a moment, like literally see her and say, aha, there she is, and take a breath. You know, breathing practices are great for this, but just pause for a moment and ask yourself whether she has any basis in fact, whether she's being kind or not, and whether or not she's telling you, whether or not she's telling you it is something that you need to know. And if none of those feel true to you, feel free to tell her to see herself out. Right? Say, thank you for being here. I always like to tell my clients to give reverence for that voice because, again, she is there. She was created to protect you and keep you safe. And it's through this awareness that we can see she's no longer needed for your growth and your involvement as a human, right? So it's like, okay, thank you for being here. So you can literally thank her. You can open the door and ask her to see herself out, you know, and then challenge her on the things that she whispers in your ear and remind her that no matter what you do or don't do, you are worthy because you exist and you are valuable all the same.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here on this episode. I know that we both continue to allow ourselves to not be perfect. So this is a topic near and dear to our heart, and we hope that this helps anyone who is listening to be able to identify where perfectionism may be coming in, where maybe you didn't notice it was there. And if you already knew it was there, what you can do about it. So your transformational takeaway for this episode today is that falling into the pits of perfectionism are quite normal in our society, but you can crawl out of them or avoid from going into them through utilizing awareness, compassion, and intentional intuitive shifts. Much love, everybody. Thank you so much for listening in and being a part of the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have, and I would love nothing more than to connect with you in other ways as well. So click the link in the description to visit youressentialdietitian.com/services and discover how we may do that. Again, thank you for being here. Much love.